From the best-selling Christian Heroes Then and Now series, YWAM Publishing presents Florence Young, Mission Accomplished, by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Rebecca Gallagher. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at heroesthenandnow.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. Becalmed.
"Reef to starboard!" James Caulfield yelled.
Florence Young glanced in the direction James pointed. There it was, a jagged coral reef waiting to gash the hull of the Daphne and toss those on board into the shark-infested water. Florence watched as Owen Thomas, who was captaining the vessel, spun the wheel hard to port, but it was no use. There was no wind to fill the sails. They were becalmed and at the mercy of the ocean current, carrying them toward the menacing reef. They were sailing just south of the equator, and during their 3 days at sea aboard the Daphne, there had been little wind. They should have been at their destination, the island of Gavutu, by now, but the island still lay many miles away across the tropical ocean. Florence felt the stifling air close in around her, and her heart began to beat faster.
"Lord, help us,"
she mumbled, holding the rigging firmly with both hands for support. She felt wretched. For hours now, she had been standing, clasping the rigging for support. She longed to lie down on the deck, but she was afraid that if she did, she might not get up again. Already, two of her fellow missionaries, desperately ill with malaria, lay at her feet, one on either side of the small deck. Helen Frick had a temperature of 106, while Hedley Abbott had a temperature of 104. As the fierce midday sun baked down on her, Florence felt as though her body were burning up and melting away at the same time. Her heart pounded and her head throbbed, but she willed herself to stay conscious.
"Lord, help us," she prayed again.
As Florence prayed, James and three crew members from the island of Malu talked animatedly among themselves in Pidgin English. At the same time, the men grabbed some of the lengths of lumber that were lying on the deck and tried to use them as paddles to maneuver the Daphne away from the reef. Their efforts were futile. The Daphne was much too heavy to be propelled by a few lengths of lumber. Florence felt her knees begin to buckle, and she slumped into a hunched position on the deck. Hovering halfway between consciousness and oblivion, she continued praying through lips that barely moved now.
"Lord, help us."
After several minutes, Florence felt a gentle puff against her cheeks. Then she felt something tussle her hair. She opened her eyes and stared at the sail. It was beginning to flap. It was a breeze. But was it enough to pull the Daphne away from the reef to safety? Several more minutes passed before Florence had her answer. The sail finally began to billow, and she felt the boat start to be pulled along through the water, away from the reef. Florence breathed a sigh of relief and mumbled a short prayer of thanks. The wind continued to blow for nearly half a day, carrying the Daphne along at a steady clip. Everyone on board was relieved. But as darkness began to descend over the boat, the wind dropped. The boat drifted throughout the night, and while Florence slept, the island crew members kept a sharp lookout in the moonlight for any more reefs. As the sun climbed above the eastern horizon the next morning, it brought with it a gentle but steady breeze. Slowly but surely, the Daphne again began inching its way toward Gavutu. With the arrival of the new day, Florence willed herself to get up and assume her hunched position over the large box of sand on the deck of the Daphne. Pressed into the sand were two large tins with a fire burning in each of them. Over the fire, Florence boiled water for those aboard to drink and cooked rice for the crew to eat. In her malaria-weakened condition, it was grueling work, but she kept at it.
She also tended to Helen and Headley, who still lay on either side of the deck. Florence was also worried about Owen. The captain was not doing well either, but despite his raging fever, he resolutely kept his position behind the Daphne's wheel. Florence tried her best to rally everyone's spirits as the sun beat down on them, burning their skin and parching their mouths. As darkness descended at the end of their fourth day at sea, Florence was glad to lie down and rest. But she was up with the sun the next morning, once again willing herself to keep going. By now, however, even she was beginning to wonder whether they would ever see land again. To her great relief, in the late afternoon of their fifth day at sea, Florence could see Gavutu appear on the horizon. Her spirits soared. At last, land was in sight. By then, however, Owen had lapsed into unconsciousness at the wheel, leaving James, with no sailing experience, and the makeshift native crew to guide the Daphne in failing light amid the reefs that guarded the harbor entrance on Gavutu. Finally, after grazing a reef with the keel of the boat, the men managed to moor the vessel alongside the dock. Florence could hardly believe they had arrived safely. It was 10 o'clock in the evening by then, and everyone aboard the Daphne was too exhausted to transfer to land. Florence collapsed right where she stood on the deck of the boat to sleep the night. As her fever-ravaged body drifted toward unconsciousness, her mind slipped back to her childhood and the unexpected twists and turns her life had taken to bring her to this place. The Solomon Islands were certainly a long way from the South Island of New Zealand, where she had been born. What would the people who had known her there think of this latest adventure she found herself in the middle of?